It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to another adventure of the Three Wise Men. And today it is my good friend, Kevin Colley, a.k.a. A-Rai, is with us. And once again, Cousin Trevor, former NWA heavyweight champion, and I stress former. And, of course, myself.
Well, I'm a little bummed out. You're like my friend, Kevin, my bro, my brother.
Because Kevin doesn't insult me, cousin. And I told you I'm still mad. I'm still not over the whole, you called me up, say, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm working on my abs, and you laughed for like 10 minutes. Like it was the funniest joke you had ever heard in your life, and I was offended. Like, I got a thick skin, bro, but I was offended. It was just, it was malicious, it was mean, it was well-timed, and unfortunately, that was your real life. That was your real laugh. No, don't even try that. You weren't having a bad day. You had a great day because I made your day because the idea of me working on my abs is hilarious. Just
you
keep it real.
My frown upside down, brother.
I believe those abs allowed you to throw me over your shoulder 7 years ago. It's 10 feet in the air.
Listen,
so
listen.
You're doing something right.
Listen, listen. Let's keep it real. If Trevor and I decided to have abs, there'd be nothing left. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the world would be coming to an end.
Total package. The two of us would be like those two beautiful men who trained tigers, except none of us are getting mauled. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we would be on tour just for people to be around us. And you know what? We keep it humble. This is a choice.
Majestic would be the word.
This is a lifestyle. You know, it's not, this ain't easy. Every time I see an ab start popping, I'm like, well, up, let me get some carbs. Yeah. I mean, I can't have Kev seeing these abs. Like, it'll devastate him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what would I be then?
Yeah, right. Point? You know, you got to, because
we're trying to do our part for the boys.
Yeah. That's how it's all about sacrifice. It's not a team sport, but you need a team to get it done. And speaking of that, so hey, man, how was your week? I mean, I just found out that A-Rai is literally in New Jersey. I thought you were still in California. So glad to hear that you got out of California and now you're. Yeah. So now we're going to be able to have you in studio. So that's going to be great.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I had to get out of the West Coast. You know, LA is a crazy place, right?
Yeah, I grew up there. It's not the place I grew up.
That's right. Yeah. Spent some time out there, tried to do some acting, and then I had some real estate stuff that I had to take care of too. And now I'm back to the East Coast and grounded and doing well. So, yeah.
Yep.
Right down the street from the studio,
which is phenomenal. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have A-Rai in studio, and which is a really good thing because you know we just have to work on Trevor investing in a sound thing because he's in the Midwest. So
I legit have a microphone and I bought it off Amazon, but I went man on it. I'm like, I don't need no instructions for this, man. This is a microphone. You got to plug it up. I threw the box away.
Yep, I did the same thing. I did the same thing. Man, I bought a mic for my computer, and I didn't know we had to buy a cord.
I am now $110 into something. I don't know how to operate.
Yeah, I'm minus $129, and I don't know where to get the cord from, and I'm too proud to ask Best Buy.
I'm operating on $125 Beats headphones right now.
Yeah.
And myself.
So okay. All right. Well, you know what? Good for you, A-Rai. Well done. I guess you just got it all. Got your life together. Man. You know,
always move. That one guy that's
trying.
Doing well.
I'm trying. I don't know if it's all together, but I'm moving in the right direction.
I don't use this word, but apparently you're doing phenomenal. And you know, I don't use that word. It's not a word
throw
around.
That's a word now, though.
Yeah. That's only for certain things. And, Trevor, what's going on in your world, man? Because you're always working, always working. Yeah. You had a sold out event. Looks from what I saw on Instagram, it was a successful night. And so, what's going on with you, man? I mean, you're gaining momentum going into the pay per view, obviously. Please kick Aaron's ass. Just mop the floor with him.
Yeah, I heard this is a swan song of some kind. Right?
He's an actor now, so he's
Oh, that's right.
Leaving his boots in the ring.
Want to go out on top. And I don't understand Aaron's decision process, but he picked me.
Yeah, he did. He called you out.
He did. And I guess I'm the bell of the ball.
You know what? Can you get a five count? I would love for you to get a five count.
You want me to go Bundy on him?
I would go Bundy on his ass and hit him with a five.
Just lock him in tight.
Just five. I want five.
I will see what I can do. No, man, that CEW show I did was great. They had 700 plus people there, which was their biggest event. So it's nice to be out when you do an independent and you've got a promoter that does what he's supposed to do. Put on a great event. Matt Cardona was there. Million Dollar Man was there. Hornswoggle was there. Victoria was there. Ron Simmons was there. It was a really good event. Yeah, nice. Yes, sir. It was a really great event, and it was a good show. And then the rest of this week, brother, I'm just trying to get prepared with ahead of me Saturday. That's, you know, we're going to do the pay-per-view, and then we slide into 3 days of TV taping. So getting everything packed and prepared and spray tan.
Yep.
Wait, you spray tan?
Listen, okay, I knew this was going to happen when I said like, I got
you spray tanned? It's like putting glitter on a pig. What the hell? Why would you?
Hey, no. There is a logical explanation. And you know what
that you go the, do you go the bottles where you buy them in
Oh,
in
you the got you store? You're singing like, Kevin's song now.
You actually go into the shop.
Yeah, Kevin's loving you now.
The Sally's. The Sally's.
The Beauty, Sally Beauty. You know? That's right.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm black. Yeah. I don't
and the looks. Yeah, some of us are blessed with beautiful skin like you, Tyrus.
Thanks.
But for me, I'm a little country, and I work outside a lot. So
right.
My arms get real red and brown. My neck gets real red and brown. And then when I take off my shirt, it looks like I blind people with all this white meat.
Right. Right.
And
you got so the farmer tan.
I do. And right. When we're in a business of going out there and displaying our bodies, as big as mine may be, I've always told by Arn Anderson, what was the rule? Tan fat's better than white fat. So I go into the local tan.
Rule I live by.
I go, all the women stare at me uncomfortably when I pay for my spray tan, and I go in and I stand in a booth and get her done.
Yeah, A-Rai was a big fan of the cans.
That's right. Thank you, Ty.
I've sprayed a back or two, I believe.
That's right. My approach was Sally Beauty. I think, you know, for what? What was it? About $1.20, $120 a week.
Yeah.
Spray tan. Yeah, no, I know.
I was part of the late night hotel trips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they discontinued our product.
Right.
That they used, and they changed it to some other. And I can't even believe I'm having this conversation, but like,
neither
they changed the formula.
All that momentum we had.
Yeah,
we just killed it with spray tan.
I remember at TV you couldn't, they had the same bottles but you couldn't take them, you know,
right.
What I mean, they had their bottles of TV, and you know, I was a mid-carder most of my career, maybe, you know, sometimes under, back and forth, but I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't have those spray bottles, so I had to make sure that I had
right
Sally
yeah
Beauty bottles.
It's like getting a massage in my, like yeah you just
yeah,
didn't do
my,
it yeah
in my suitcase. And the other half the time, they wouldn't even, you know, they wouldn't make it through.
How many hotel
the bag check
have
so,
been destroyed
yeah
throughout the years? How many hotel bathrooms have been destroyed? Because you know the maid walks in and she looks at that bathroom and she's like, those motherfuckers.
Yeah, that and Nair. I'm sure there's been enough Nair.
Yes.
You know, I think Matt Cardona was the one he would lay Nair on a towel. And then roll on it so he'd get his back done. So he would roll on a towel with Nair on it. So I can just imagine what, you know, I think a lot of times when the cleaning lady came in, she probably thought she was in a murder scene. There's like hair everywhere, there's DNA everywhere. Like, my God, what happened in here?
Shout out to those folks, to be honest with you. They, you know, wrestlers aren't sometimes the kindest to their room because. Well, because we're jerks.
Well, I wasn't.
They got to go.
I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, my I wasn't. No.
You're one in a million, Tyrus.
No, because I'm the one who had to show three forms of ID to even get in the damn hotel room. So I knew.
They wanted DNA.
They're like, okay.
Check.
Yeah, it's
like,
2 o'clock in the morning. This 6'8 tatted brother just came in looking for a room. Yeah, we're going to need an extra thing ID here. We're going to.
What's he driving?
Yeah. probably something better than they work. We had, milked that. So when you guys, when you first got on the road, did everyone get their rent a car and hotel paid for? Like the first, was it like 90 days?
I did for a period until I got switched over to full deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at
yeah.
the very beginning, yeah. once they switched, like first 2 months, I was their tag team champ and didn't have a full deal.
Right.
But they knew I wasn't going nowhere. But then once they flipped right. it over and I was making that real money, they were like, you got to pay for your own stuff.
And A-Rod was like, you came up in NXT, so it was like the same thing, although we had yeah. to ride. You couldn't always pick who you rode with, but usually we were all pretty right. tight anyway, so it really wasn't a bad thing. We had a good group of guys.
Well, you and I traveled together a lot.
Yeah, we were.
I remember, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
We were,
and
I was part of that check-in process with right. you.
Yeah. And we would, yeah, yeah and you would lose. I remember you didn't take the one thing about A-Rod, man, you did not take any guff, especially. I think probably the best thing ever was the Tampa airport where you are pleading with the lady. You're like, this is your job. This is what right. you do. You're supposed to be, I'm not supposed to do your job for you. Because while she was not getting us a flight, I called on, yeah. I called Delta on my phone and got us
That's
flights.
Right.
And then
That's
you right. couldn't let it go. You're like, excuse, no, I'm sorry, ma'am.
That is 100%. I remember because we were trying to book a flight coming out of Delta and she could not find a flight, or she said
yeah.
we couldn't make it to the next city and we had to be there. And in the process of me speaking to this lovely woman,
yes.
You had found one on your phone and I couldn't figure out how, and I can't remember if it was Delta or not.
It was Delta. It was Delta. And okay, I love Delta,
fine,
but
I'm good
yeah.
with that. I'm good with that. Yeah. But I couldn't understand how she was working behind the desk and, you know, that was her job. But yet you found the flight on the phone first.
I literally bumped you and said, I got us a flight. We're good. I called the office and they booked it for us. And then you were like, excuse me, ma'am. This is your job.
I was confused.
Just dying.
I was certainly confused.
He was so hurt. Like, you're not.
I was.
You're supposed. Why is he doing your job? Like,
well, it was an hour. It was at least a 90-minute conversation.
Yeah, it was a minute. It was a minute. And you were going to get the last. At least you were trying to make it a teachable moment. And she was not. She was not having it.
Flight from the Chili's bar that was 20 feet away.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, it was a little confused. But
I always liked his passion because his thing, you are a stickler for customer service and you're not going to go, you're not going to go to Yelp. You're not going to go to online.
No.
You're
going to
solve it right there. You're going to air your grievances and part
That's
as friends.
Fair.
You always like, well, thank you for your time.
Right.
You know, you're
just trying to understand.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's what it is. And she,
well,
and she was not helping
like
you. She was not helping you. She was just like, did you guys get your flight next? And you're like, well,
right.
You got to be better at your job. And I was like, let's go, A-Rod. Let's go, A-Rod.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Right.
You were visibly shaken.
Getting me out of there.
Yeah. You were visibly shaken. I said, our luggage is going to be in Bangladesh if you don't shut up right now.
right.
So
my spray tanner.
Yeah, and you need that, you know, because you can't take that as carry on. But you know, speaking of doing your job, do we have our legend with us? Is he
Who's
with
our
us?
Legend?
It is the great Austin Idol.
Oh man, each week. Bro, you keep bringing, just knocking home runs out here, man.
Okay.
You know,
so this is going to be funny because he's old, right? And the old schools don't know technology. Yeah. So when I told him, I said it was 3 o'clock, you know, Eastern time, we'll probably bring you on 3:20. All he heard was 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll be like
probably
three.
Trying to figure out the phone.
Yeah. Trying to, it's hard. It's hard to get online on Zoom with a rotary phone. It's not easy.
That's horrible. At least we got to make fun of him when he's here.
Oh, it's coming because, you know, and I just everyone, A-Rod, you have earphones on. Trevor, do you have earphones on? Because
yes, I do.
I don't need to tell you how loud he is.
Yeah, you're right.
You're in for a treat. This guy knows one volume and it's max. It's maxed out. So we'll have him on shortly. But just piggybacking off, like we had the Godfather last time and.
Yeah.
Man, that was incredible. He had probably hands down the greatest wrestling career of everyone because he just did it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
He called his own shots. Yeah. Think about that. like that is, he could stop whenever he wanted to. He was never, ever going to be under anyone's thumb. Like that might be the greatest career. You could maybe Flair or Hogan, but you know, in terms of like pushes or whatever, but in terms of like mental health, he's got to be the most got it together superstar of all time.
Yeah. And he was on the, he was on the video too. He, I don't know if everybody, but I could see it, and he was a happy man. And you know,
He's just, you know, he's, and it's so refreshing. We always hear about the horror stories. We always hear about the tragic stories, and we never celebrate the success stories.
Yeah.
You know, and unless it's The Rock or Cena or dare I say Tyrus, we don't.
Yeah. Well, no. Success.
But, I mean, but I'm just saying, as far as TV goes.
Number one bestseller. Now.
Yeah.
Come on.
But the point is, though, he didn't do it necessarily in front of the camera, but he was doing it in life. Like, he had it together, and it is so important for anyone in this business because, let's be honest, the bus days are pretty much over in terms of one guy just making, you know, you money and never having to do anything again. You know, injuries, the business itself, it's changing. You know, you got to have plan B. Like, to every young wrestler who's listening or current wrestler, you have to have plan B. You have to have, and it's even better when plan B becomes plan A while you're doing it. Because,
well, and can I say something? A lot of
it's a podcast. I would hope you would. Yeah.
Well, oh, man. I'm so glad I'm just your friend.
Oh, your family, brother.
A lot of guys, young guys in the business, need to understand that there's only a handful of guys up there that are on top that stay there for the 10, 15, 20 year, you know, career wise. You know what I mean? And it's hard to find work afterwards. But so they need to plan and realize that whatever time they have up there, make the most of it while they're there, be creating, like we've heard, that plan B while you're working on plan A.
Use that platform.
Yes.
You have to look at it. And again, I'm speaking from looking back, because I'll be the first one to tell you that I didn't use my platform for when I was in the WWE, because I was a lifer. I could talk, I could work. I looked the part. I could make them love me. I could make me hate me. I was going to wrestle, and then I was going to be Gorilla Monsoon with A-Rai, and we were there forever, you know, probably be agents. We had it laid out. We were lifers.
Yep.
And that did not happen. And I had to learn the hard way. And I didn't use Twitter. I didn't use any social media at gunpoint, because I just didn't feel like I didn't have time.
Yeah, I was the same. Tyrus, I didn't quite understand it, and I stayed away from it too.
It's like I specialized in one thing. You know, it's like to put it in other terms, and Trevor, you can attest to this too. It's like we're all polar bears, right? And we rule the ice, but when the ice melts, we're asked out, and you know what I'm saying. And we're stuck, and we either swim or drown, and a lot of guys, and that thrill of being there, and you should take time. And that's another thing that I think all three of us are guilty of, is never stopping in the moment and saying, damn, I'm doing it. And I feel good about this. Yeah. We are always worried about what was going to happen next.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll be back with much more after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. Congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I think Godfather said something too that stuck with me. He said, well, when I wasn't having fun, I left. And I was like, well, wow. I mean, what a privilege to be able to do that. But I think it's such a, you know, it's a different type of job. Right. I mean, you're always on stage. You're always in front of people. You need your creative brain. You need your heart. And, you know, when you stop having fun of it, and certainly I went through that process where, you know, it started as very, very, it started as a dream. You know what I mean? Extremely fun. And then it became a job. You know, as I was trying to explain to some people that were close to me, like, you know, it may look like that to you, but at some point, everything becomes a job, even sports entertainment, even professional wrestling. And I think, you know, when he said that to me, well, you know, guys, when I wasn't having fun, I made sure I stepped away. Now, granted, he stepped away probably with a couple $1 million in the bank, right?
Right.
But that was pretty insightful.
But that was also, you know, because of his successful business ventures outside of wrestling.
Right.
So
gotcha,
he wasn't dependent, like, and he had his ups and downs like we all do, but he had such a good bearing on himself as far as self esteem, right. and wrestling makes you really insecure.
Yeah.
You know, and your chase for that brass ring, can make you paranoid.
Yeah.
And you lose yourself. Like I lost myself, even though, the Funkasaurus was I turned it into something great, and then it became a curse because I was always wondering when they're going to end it, when they're going to end it, when they're going to screw me over, when is this going to happen, when is it going to happen, and then you screw yourself over because nobody wants to work with that guy.
Yeah,
you know, and so in the spirit of that, our next guest, legend, the great Austin Idol, he made quite a good career in realty. So he was at the top of the wrestling game during his time, and then he could step away because he had other things, which I think is important to get that message up there. So joining us right now is the great, the legendary Austin Idol.
What's the special today?
The special's you. You're our special guest.
I'm a little hungry. What's the special?
He's ordering food. Great.
I want something off the menu. I don't want what everybody else eats. What you got off the menu?
It's a podcast.
I want to eat in the kitchen.
Yeah, no, wrong number. What number did you dial?
I dialed the right number.
See, I told you it was hard to call in on a podcast from a rotary
phone.
From
a rotary.
Yeah, so.
This ain't Meals on Wheels, Austin.
Yeah. It's
not. Ain't no wrong numbers. I got the right number, don't I?
Yeah. How the hell are you, sir?
I'm great.
So we were talking, and the reason why we asked you on today, so last week the legend that I had on was Godfather. And he talked about the importance of having a plan B. And your career is legendary, but one of the things that I most admire about you, and one thing that Godfather stood out to me was, says, when it wasn't fun anymore and it became too much drama, I would just say, I'm done, guys. And I would go back to working my other stuff. And he had a very successful strip club, and he had other business ventures, and your story is very similar to that, because you could step away whenever you want to. You were never at the beck and call of the promoter. If you didn't like something, you would say no because you had other avenues. And I think that's one of the things I most admire about you, because we never hear those stories. We always hear the bad stories of guys who fell on hard times. We never hear the good stories, and you're one of those good stories.
Well, Tyrus, you know, I was just like you. I'm big. You know, and I'm fearless when it comes. So, you know, when I quit the wrestling business, I mean, I just quit it, and I was doing, you know, I was doing well. I mean, I was doing fine. So, I mean, I was making money, I was saving money, and I just, you know, got tired of it and quit. And but I had no plan B. I did not have a plan B. So there you go. So there's probably, you might want to factor in a little bit of stupidity or just make it more of a, you know, I backed myself into a corner is what I did. So I, first thing I decided was I'm going to take a little time off and just chill and just train and not think about anything. I mean, really not think about anything. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then after probably about 6 weeks, feel, you know, rebooted and recharged and feeling really great and wanted to do something, but I had no idea what I was going to do. The little house, not a big house, but I knew I had some equity in it. And I said, well, you know what? I guess I'll try to sell this house. And I had a friend who was a realtor and did the house, got a contract on it. I mean, pretty quickly. And I mean, I had no place to rent an apartment. I'll just rent an apartment and just take my equity out and, you know, and just rent an apartment and just see what's next. So, you know, signed the contract as a seller, had 30 days, and the house was going to close. It was in good shape. So I had 30 days. And in the meantime, it's the same realtor friend of mine one afternoon called me and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" So I'm getting ready to get in the shower. "Don't do it. Over here on Blackshear Avenue is a house standing inside the house right now. There's a line of people outside to get it, trying to get into the house. You got to come over and see this house immediately. It's been undervalued." And the house was maybe 5 minutes away, but a whole different environment 5 minutes away. Across the street, there were million-dollar homes on a beautiful bayou. This was like a brick, kind of a rancher, you know, 2,500 square work. And she was right. There was a line getting in. So I went up, knocked on the door. She let me in, closed the door. She says, "You got to buy this house right now, full price. You're paying all the closing costs." And when she told me the price, and really, you know, I didn't know hardly anything about real estate, not really. I said, "Okay, sign a contract." Now, I don't have a job. I've quit my job. So I'm unemployed, right? So I put the contract on the thing, you know, and she gave her a check for $1,000. I had $1,000, gave her a check for $1,000. So she said, this is going to fly because you're paying all the closing costs, yada, yada. It'll fly. And so the seller signed the contract. I went to my local bank, and then, of course, banking was different. It was a community bank. It was a little bit different. And I knew the guy was the president of that branch. Went in and I had to copy the contract. I said, "His name is John Stanhay." I said, "John, I've got a contract for this house." He looks at the contract and says, "Oh, that's a good deal over in Blackshear Avenue." He says, "You're still wrestling, aren't you?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I wasn't, right? I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "No problem." He said, "We'll get you the loan." Yeah, got the loan, right? I got the loan, moved into the house, put some money into it because I didn't want to, you know, it was a really nice, the location was killer. It would have been a house, like I said, you know what, I can live here for, gosh, forever. I mean, really forever. And after about 6 months, my money's starting to deplete. And I said, you know what, I'm going to have to sell this house, man. Put an ad in the newspaper, a professor from University of, FSU, him and his wife are moving down, and they're water babies. They're water freaks, and right across the street was the water. He came in, looked at the house, bang, full price. I'm getting my money I put into it. And I did the math pretty quickly, and I said, you know what? If this thing closes, I'm going to walk out of that closing attorney's office with about $80,000. Yeah, it closed.
Just like that.
Yep. Closed. I had a check. Now, it wasn't net 80. Net on it was probably 65. I got in the elevator, got the thing, you know, the little portfolio, whatever. I'm looking at that check. I'm thinking, you know what? That's good money. I mean, that's real good money.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, could lightning strike twice? I wonder. You know, so I had some cash there. I could play with some cash and still have some in my pocket. And that same realtor took our house in the historic district that was like a, I thought it was a steal. You know, I thought it was a steal. Moved into that place. But the same scenario kind of started taking place again. You know, I was living happily ever after. Nice house built in 1920-something. Good square footage. Had all the, just had all the history and all that. Things are starting to kind of run a little bit low, and I didn't want to run out. I said, you know what? I really don't want to sell this house, man, but I got to take a shot at it.
So you were just flipping houses.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't. No, not really. Not really, because it's how you define the word flip. So
what year was this, Austin? What year was this?
Huh?
What year was this?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm just trying to think. I'm going back 80-something?
Okay. I can dig that.
Yeah, 80-something? 80-something. So anyway, but now, so you know, I better try to sell this house. A dentist, a retired dentist, him coming in from Delaware or somewhere, maybe not Delaware, whatever. They come in, boom, full price. I got a pretty good hit here now. I got a pretty, I'm putting money back in my pocket, back in my pocket. And then it's a long story, but it's kind of, there's a punchline to it. And the punchline is coming up pretty soon here. Right down the street, a house I always admired, it was on a beautiful city park, just went on the market. Just went on the market. And I had some cash, cut a deal, which was a really good deal because I'm getting hip to real estate and dog. And, of course, all about location, naturally all about location. And moved into that house and stayed in that house for 15 years in that house, that base camp for me. And then started doing houses. And that was a job I gave myself, always looking for property, always looking for property. I mean, I knew my location, knew where I wanted to be, where I would have my best shot at selling, right? And, of course, you make your money going in. You know, you got to cut the deal and make sure that you're cutting the right deal and figure it out. And for the first probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I had some really good subs that would go in and do the stuff, you know, not crazy stuff, but enough to really make it nice and cutesy it up. And then I figured that out. I said, you know what? I don't need to be doing that. Forget that. I'll let the next buyer do all that, and I'll discount the house X amount of dollars, what I thought they could put into it, and just bring it up to where it would be comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And so I quit that. Yeah. And that turned 15 years of real estate. I was, 15 years of real estate, you know, get the houses. I'd have maybe the most I would have at one time would be 3 on the market at the same time. So I had 3 lines of water, you know, catch fish. I had 3 lines in the water. So really it was a great life. I mean, it was a great life. Going to the gym every morning, go out in my boat and go fishing and whatever. And then one would sell and boom, another one would sell and just kept on turning them over. And what
now, I wish there was a TV camera, because what you basically described, Austin, was that you're the original flipper. You're the OG flipper. We have all these, right. We have all these reality TV shows. I want to see an Austin Idol flipping show. That's what I want to see. That would be entertainment to me.
Well, let's produce it. I mean, let's produce it, because the thing is, there's so many funny stories. I mean, I'm talking 15 years of transactions with all different types of people, the wackos, I mean, just tons of wackos. And so you're always negotiating and you're always playing chess, and you got to know when to bluff. You know, okay, you don't want
that. Did you feel it? Did you feel like you had a natural gift for picking the properties, like when you transitioned from wrestling? Because you said the first 3 you bought, you kind of just got on a roll and you made money on them. I know. Did you kind of feel like you had a sight for it?
I knew the locations because it was the okay. area that I lived in, so I knew what the good locations were. You know,
right?
And it's all about location and real estate. You know, I knew where the good locations were, so I stayed within those, like, at the time, really, there was, like, 3 locations that were all nice neighborhoods. And then eventually I went off and did some stuff on Pensacola Beach that turned out really good. They built some condos. A friend of mine who's passed away, Fred Levin, who was the first to go against the tobacco industry and win it. Yeah, first one. Well, Fred and I were buddies, but he built... Him and his brother, Alan, they built these amazing condos on Portofino. And I got in early, very, very early on a couple of them, and eventually sold them. I mean, I had a good run. The only thing, what stopped, and you know, I was so happy. And I figured, you know what, this is my career for the rest of my life. But 2008 came along, and boom. As a matter of fact, I was in Antares. I was moving over to New Orleans.
I remember you told me that. Yeah,
before Katrina. Because in 2004, we got hit with a Hurricane Ivan in Pensacola, and it just decimated everything. And I had, I think, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 houses at the time. So by going through all the insurance and all that stuff, I mean, you know, getting that all settled, I knew, you know what, this town ain't never coming back. And I used to go to New Orleans a lot.
That was a wise move from the frying pan into the fryer.
Well, you never know, though, because in 2004, New Orleans was fine.
Yeah, and Katrina changed everything.
Yeah, Katrina. So I had, I promise you, I had five condos in the quarter under contract, all at great deals. Great deals. Great deals. And I thought, well, you know what? And these were in condos in progress. They hadn't been finished yet. You know, they were old. They're old buildings, very old buildings. And one of the ones I was going to keep for myself was right across the street from the New Orleans Athletic Club. That's Rampart. Yeah, that's Rampart. Yeah. And this was a townhouse built in the 1800s, and it had seven units. And I had two units. I had the top floor, seventh floor, and they had one underneath it. And I figured, well, you know, I'm going to stay on top.
You know, speaking of the 1800s, I got a question for you. When you think about your success in Realty.
No, I wasn't born in the 1800s.
No, I'm just saying, but your feud. No, you were born in 1795. But your feud with Jerry Lawler when you cut his hair, I feel like that was like one of the highlights or one of the biggest moments. You're like, I think you're the most hated person on the planet. When you were that hot, it was the same kind of feeling as it was with your success with selling houses and stuff? Was it the same kind of success feeling?
Well, they weren't trying to kill me.
Right. Yeah, because that was...
right.
You had to be, like, hidden, didn't you? You had to hide to get out. You couldn't even leave the building, right?
Well, we were delayed, yeah. We were delayed, for sure, yeah. We were delayed, yeah. So, but, I mean, yeah, the thing, I mean, really, because no one could have ever figured that one. I mean, really... Jerry Lawler, the king of Memphis, head shave? No, there's no way. There's no way. It's impossible. So, you know, the place was packed, and it was extremely hot and dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. First time I ever ran out of a match. First time ever. And I was.
Yeah, and you were genuinely nervous leaving the building, correct? I mean, they were that.
Yeah, upset. I mean, well, they wanted to. There was a riot. I mean, they wanted to kill us, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean, it was. Pretty scary, really. I mean, it was over, and we're in the ring, and I could see the cops on the floor. They were scared because this thing was out of control, and it was just like a little bit. The whole thing could have imploded. I mean, it's just close to just everybody going completely crazy and insane. One guy's trying to come over the top, and I had a big chain with a lock tied on the end of it. And I'm swinging it, and man, if you come over here, you're going to get whacked, man. I mean, either you or me, you're going to get whacked.
That's exciting. That's heat, though.
That is heat.
Yes. I think that's past heat.
I think that's what you call some bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, thanks for coming to the show, but it's over. Take your ass home.
No, they believed it.
They did.
I don't want to attain that heat. You know what I mean?
Like, Trevor's saying that, but if he was in that cage with you, he'd have been like, what are you going to do? How are we going to get out of this? Why'd you cut his hair? I told you not to. This was a stupid idea. This was stupid.
I would turn on you quick.
Oh, yeah.
Fingers and everything.
Let's get him, everybody.
Well, I bounced out the bat.
Yeah, I would have rolled out the ring right when the Clippers came out and be like, yeah, I'm out.
But, you know, I say these people were ready to kill. I mean, they were.
But it has a lot to do with how good you were. You can't just do those things. Yes. Like you got, when I think of guys who would get just unbelievable heat and anger, like you, Terry Funk, Harley Race, not that pretty heat like Ric Flair got where the ladies still loved him because he was so successful, you hated him. You were just vicious. And that was a different kind of, we don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like that's part of wrestling, unfortunately, is gone because the way the world is now, they just couldn't handle it. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Harley would tell me about once every 2 months, like he would walk out to his car and somebody would have either thrown something through the front windshield or stabbed his tires because they saw him pulling into the building. And he would readily have like spare tires with him because inevitably somebody was going to pop his tires. And can you imagine being world champion walking out going, look at my car.
Man, hey, Trev, I've had my tires slashed, thank goodness, not seriously, but it got cut in Puerto Rico coming back from the ring. Oh, man, but shot. I don't know if I was shot in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yeah, Scranton, Pennsylvania, and wrestled Chief J. Strombo, who was so hot at the time. I mean, you couldn't even look at this guy without them wanting to kill you. And when the matches were over, my car was parked in the alley. And as I was walking to go to my car, there wasn't any protection out in the alley, but there was people out there. There was people out walking to my car, right? Boom, boom. So somebody had a big piece, and I assume they shot it up in the air. But I tell you what, I probably a gold medal for a sprint to my car.
Yeah, I mean, just keep winning.
Experiences, man.
You know, when you tell stories, it always just takes us back to a time, because you always paint a picture, and that has so much to do with what it is to be in the ring. You paint a picture. You know, the Dusty Rhodes always tell him you got to paint a canvas. You know, and you certainly did that. And you know, the fact that you were able to regroup and then go into another line of work and climb the top of that to a high level is tremendous. And that's more of what the boys need to hear, because so many times they try to specialize in this business and this sport, and it doesn't always work out, man. Thank you so much, man, for coming on today and dropping a little knowledge on us. Well, I'll see you in a very short time, because we got business to do, poor Mims. And,
yeah, you got a match coming up, right? We haven't even discussed that.
Oh, man, it's listen.
Title defense, right?
Listen, I've talked about it. We about to be about it. I mean, you know,
young Mims
he dresses like me, he acts like me, but he ain't me. So, you know,
strong Mims.
And who's his creative guy? Big strong Mims. That's what you did? That's what you came up with? Was there a team on that? You know, that's why having someone like Austin Idol in your corner to say, hey, you know what? Maybe come up with something better than that. That's when you call yourself a non-complete sentence, don't big strong
a little
Mims.
More like, dedication.
Yeah, you need a little put a comma in there.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Strong Mims.
Strong as fucks and almost as smart.
Yeah, there you go. There you
guys
go.
Guys can't underestimate the underdog. I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm the underdog. Let him tell it. All right, man. Oh, man. Hey, Mr. Idol, thank you so much for coming on. Please come back soon. Appreciate you.
Okay, same here, guys. Okay, appreciate it. All right?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Austin.
Saturday.
See you Saturday.
Take care.
Man.
What a life that guy's lived.
Just unbelievable. And completely played me like a fool when he told me the first story. He told me this the old school guy's always working, man. He told me wrestling, started selling houses, told him to kiss his ass, and then he gets on here and it's like I would have cued a violin, but yeah, he got us. But still, you know, it's still he got me.
It was still a positive story. No,
and y'all some punk asses, nobody said nothing, like
nothing.
You gotta wonder, though. I mean, if he had three right off the bat, he knew the locations, right?
Yeah.
You know, he kind of had it in the back of his mind somewhere.
He had to have, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Austin's very crafty, so I believe he had it. He was working a plan. He's always like,
he's always working a plan. Always working a plan. Those guys are always two steps ahead.
You know what I never did, like Tyrus and Trevor's, like, I remember when I was with WWE, people would come up to me in bars and restaurants, right? I go, oh, tell me about what you do. You're a wrestler, right? You're a sports entertainer, right? Tell me about what you do. And I would stand there, you know, my ego would grow, right? And I would stand there for 15 or 20 minutes and I would just talk about myself and what I did, you know, and in retrospect, I should have been in that same, you know, understanding, well, you know, kind of what do you do? Right. And I believe I tried, you know, but you know, it was a space where I was, you know, everybody's always asking about wrestling and tell me this story and tell me that story. And maybe, you know, I should have in that space been a little bit more engaged and, you know, well, why don't you tell me about your profession? Right. Why don't you tell me about what lights you up in your profession? And, you know, I never really took the time to do that as much, you know, and looking back, I kind of regret that. right? As they were coming up to me, having them, you know, tell me these war stories and tell me this and tell me that, I would get kind of lost in it. And then, you know, they would go and be on their way. But I think there was a space there that maybe we all can close, right? If we're looking for B or plan B.
Right. You know? Yeah. Because you never know who you're going to meet.
I think that absolutely. Also comes down to maturity as well, too, gentlemen. Right. We're all a little bit more grown now, and we realize that money tree isn't going to be forever. Let's just hope some young guy is listening to this podcast and will be smart enough to take our advice. And
they haven't turned it off already.
Yeah, well, we brought them back, brother. Hopefully they take that advice. Come on, we're going to move on forward.
I'll tell you what, though. I thought I had an ace in my pocket with this communication major on this squad.
I'm good. I'm
yeah,
good.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, wait, riveting. Way to jump in there. Trevor, you know, this is what happens when you respect your elders and they tell long stories like that. Trevor texted me going, "Do something." I'm like,
"Well, you're the host now."
Yeah, like, "Oh, now it's on me." Before he got all kinds of stuff to say, and he's texting me, "Do something."
This is not my.
It's just as much yours as it is mine. So the next time you want to text me, why don't you say it out loud? Damn coward. Left it up to me. I had to wait till he said 1800s.
You hearted the message, so you sure as hell agreed with me.
Yeah, no, I did, you know, and I love Idol. But I was like, he told us every house he sold, everyone. From 1980 to 2006, he went through every house he sold.
Well, and that's what I wanted.
I just got a text from the producer like, this? "Hey, you know you got to be done at 4 o'clock, right?" I'm like, "It's 3:40."
Figure out $60,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, that's
but back then,
$60,000 in 1980
was like $20,000 now.
Well, yeah.
That'll get you 3 tanks of gas, a trip to the movies. And a flight for you and your fiance on Spirit to Pensacola, Florida. But yeah, man, damn. Yeah, well, nice job, fellas. Nice job.
Gotta respect our elders, though.
I love him, but he's gonna get it for this. He's gonna get it for this. He's what he said, the punchline, I said, there better damn sure be one.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting.
I might have accidentally missed that when we were texting.
Yeah, like, no, I love him though, man. And he told it like it was. He just told it like it was his podcast. But it's all good, man. I would say what you learned today, but we've all learned how to flip houses. So,
but we all definitely learned we got to have a plan B, and it's all different.
Yeah, and we got to at least have 4 or 5 backup questions.
Yes.
Way to go, communication guy.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Your legacy. Your father did this. That's you correct. Do this.
Right.
Your legacy. See, this is what I always said about nepotism, man. Nepotism is terrible because
he just broke out the 23andMe. He's like, "Come on, man, you better get this done."
I was searching for questions.
Yeah, there was none. There was none.
I mean, we did admit it was a little difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, difficult that you text me. Do something.
Come on, man. Yeah. Well, 3 wise men.
Yeah, that's what we not.
Big question mark.
Yeah, big question mark in this one.
Well, if they're coming to listen to this for intelligence,
if you're still here, if anyone is still here, thank you. And for more podcasts like this, just like this, next week we'll be talking about diversifying your funds and whether it's going to be better to invest in pork bellies or just regular oranges.
AARP.
Yeah. All right. Me. All right. Thank you. For more podcasts like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been 3 of the dumbest asses ever pretending to be a wise man.
Yes.
Trevor, Arai, and myself. Enough said.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.